Riley, I said, boy, Brother Tim, he put the grease where the squeak was at this morning. Amen. If you was in the Sunday school lyre, what a needed study on the subject of lust. And as she was winding down, I was reminded, if you want to look at this, I thought about just picking up where he left off. Let me read some verses to you. Let me find it here. 1 John chapter number 2. These words, these verses, words come to my mind, Brother Tim, while you was finishing up, and about how important it is we deal with lust in our life. And Brother Tim, he went on through the scripture. Just about every issue you have in your life is anchored in your battle with lust, some kind of lust in your life. And he dealt with pornography and immorality and things of that nature. And obviously that's the easy stuff to put a finger on. It doesn't just have to be those kind of things. It's just lust means longing, a passion for a desire for that in context of what he was teaching of things that are forbidden. Amen. Everybody in the building, when everybody listen, what I'm getting ready to read you, 1 John chapter 2, several verses, verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. We are in the world today. If you're saved, you're not of the world anymore. You're in it, but we're not of it. And he said, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. If you love this world like we're supposed to love God, you have no love for God in your heart at all. You can't be friends with the world and maintain a friendship or friendly terms with God. James said that's an impossibility. That is the problem with religion in our day. There's a culture of religion that wants to hold hands with the world over here and try to hold hands with God on this side, and think they're not going to be torn, think that they can be whole in doing that. And the fact of the matter is, if you love the world, Brother Larry just puts it right out there. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. Now you can like that, you can get mad about it, you can get tore up about it, try to silence the voice. That is the word of God. The love of the Father is not in people who love this world. Amen. Now here it is, for all that is in the world. Listen, he's going to give you a threefold core to things we're dealing with in our battle with the world. He said the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He said, is not of the Father, but is of the world. This is where worldliness is seen. It's seen in these three things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Here's what I thought about, Tim, the importance of what you was teaching on this morning. Two-thirds of your battle in this world revolves around dealing with lust. Two-thirds of every battle you have in your life, spiritual battles, just battles trying to live from day to day, stems from the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. Don't tell me what he taught this morning ain't important. It is highly important. Amen. If we're going to be victorious, we have two of the three fronts that we're fighting in this world with this world is related directly to lust within our own flesh and our own eyes. Understanding that is not of the Father, it is of the world. He said in verse 17, the world passeth away, and I love this, and the lust thereof. All this is going to pass away one day. I don't know if that helps you. I ain't a beating on you this morning. I'm trying to pick up where he left off and bring you to a place of encouragement. Amen. This world is going to pass away. And all the lust, all the lust of the flesh and all the lust of the eyes that are in this world and even the pride of life, amen, all these things are going to pass away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And here's what I thought over there, Brother Gerald, listening to him teach this morning. What is the antidote to dealing with lust? Is everybody here? What is the antidote, Brother Charlie, to dealing with lust in our life? It is doing the will of God. Say, preacher, I feel like I'm sinking. I feel like I'm just struggling. I feel like I'm eat up with a desire, a longing for more of this world and more that is in this world. How do I get victory over that? According to this, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The antidote to lust in your life is knowing, longing for, seeking, and doing the will of God. Simply put, you going to live in the will of God, or you going to live in the lust of your flesh and the lust of your eyes. The antidote to getting victory over all of that is saying it ain't about what I want. It ain't about pleasing my flesh and the longings and the impassioning that I find in my flesh and through my eyes. It is about understanding the Word of God and applying the Word of God and living my life in the will of God. Amen. I believe that's right. Amen. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We're watching a generation. We're watching a generation that, my friend, has no purpose to life. They have no meaning to life. There is no value to life. There is no esteem for life, even their own life in their own eyes. They live their life eat up with flesh and lust and desire and thirst for more and more and more and more of this world. Yes, wonder why they can't be satisfied. It is because they know nothing of the will of God, much less doing the will of God. You will struggle. You will struggle every day of the rest of your life until you learn what it is to walk in the will of God. Amen. Amen. You better understand this. You can give yourself to lust, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and all that is in this world. You can give yourself to that. You'll find pleasure in it, but you listen to this preacher, what this Word of God said, that will last for a season. Lust never satisfied. Brother Tim illustrated it out of Mark 6 as we did on last week. Herod could never be satisfied. He had the line was always being moved further and further out.
Yes, sir.
Amen. And the way he could have found satisfaction was just saying, you know what? The preacher is right because he's given me the Word of God, and the Word of God is right. I'll fall in line. I'll deal with this lust in my life. I'll deal with this sin in my life. I'll fall in line with the will of God and do the will of God. He could have... No telling the life that man could have lived. Amen. Amen. And buddy, I'm telling you, you are dealing with, you're in a world that likely, Brother Tim, has more engagement with the lust of the flesh and of the eyes than any generation before. It is on every hand. It's on every hand. That's why you got to be careful what you watch. Shy, it don't matter. It matters a big deal, friend. You got to be mindful of what you're listening to. You got to be mindful of your companionships and relationships you make in this world. Amen, amen. You got to be mindful of so many things, and I know it gets wearisome sometimes. I know. Sometimes I feel like even in my own life, in my own family, that I'm like, man, we're so agitated or paranoid about what's going on in this world. I'm going to tell you, I don't know if you can be too paranoid. This whole world lieth in wickedness. So worlds eat up with everything that, my friend, plays upon the lust of your flesh, the lust of your eyes, and it's all going to pass away. There ain't anything, you better listen this morning. There ain't anything you can feed your lust this morning that will abide forever.
Amen.
There is no eternal value in it. You ain't taking it into eternity. Wherever you spend eternity at, you are not taking it with you. Amen. You're not taking it with you. All the things you labor for, amen, and go after and strive for, amen. I'm telling you, only those that do the will of God, only those things done in the will of God embraced in the will of God. Amen. Only those things are going to abide forever. Amen. All your wardrobe is all staying here. Amen. All your pleasures that you and I enjoy, whether they're, amen, wicked to the core or just a source of entertainment. I'm not, and Tim wasn't this morning teaching not to enjoy life. We're talking about you better make sure you enjoy it in the will of God. And that's exactly right, friend. My heart is broken over this generation. And I don't just mean young people. I'm talking about anybody living and breathing today, young or old. There is such a void in people's eyes and in their hearts and in their lives. And I am absolutely convinced, Brother Carl, that it is the result of what Brother Tim taught this morning, what that Word of God gives a warning about, that we are satisfying our own lust, not living our lives in the will of God. Amen. And I've been there. I've done that, especially as a lost man. I've tried to do it as a saved man. And I'm telling you, I can save you, young, especially you young folk, a lot of time. Amen. If you'll listen to some of us that's done it, there is no satisfaction in it. Amen. There is no joy in it. There is no, amen, fulfillment in it. I know what the world presents. I know they say it with boldness and with their chest out, and they say it with flashing lights, and they say it, amen, with a smile on their face, but it brings no satisfaction. It'll leave you empty on the inside. It'll leave you void. It'll leave you at a distance from God. It'll leave you, my friend, not understanding up from down and right from left and good from evil, the living and the lust, amen, of the flesh and of the eyes. It never satisfies. Amen, amen. We better get a hold of this. We better get a hold of this. I know I'm a preacher. I know where I'm preaching. I'm in the great Calvary Baptist Tabernacle of Newport, Tennessee. But I promise you today, amen, there ain't a person in here today doesn't need to hear about a warning about the lust that's on the inside.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. You feed it one time, it'll never be satisfied.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
You can't play around with sin.
Right.
You can't play around with the things that's in this world. Amen. Amen. I don't know what I'm doing. Amen. I don't know what you call what I'm doing right now. Exhorting. You say, I don't feel very exhorted. Well, it's admonition. Amen. Whatever you want to put on it. Amen. It may be the reason we're so disinterested in God. So ashamed of being a child of God, doing things that ought to be normal in the Christian life, why we're ashamed to portray that in public, is that lust is eating us up.
Amen.
Amen. You can say what you want. You can get mad. You can say, I'm going to do my own thing the minute I get a chance, and that's your right. That's your free will that God in His grace give you to exercise. But you won't know God, you won't know fulfillment, and you won't know joy.
Right. That's right.
Say, but I know somebody, I don't care what they present to you.
Amen.
Amen. It is an absolute lie of the devil. It is a lie of the ungodly.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you, I'm glad I'm a part of that crowd that gets to abide forever.
Amen.
Amen. See, the will of God means you got to be saved.
Yes,
he that doeth the will of God shall abide forever, abideth forever. Amen. The will of God is that every man, all men everywhere would repent.
Yes.
I'm glad I'm in that number, Brother Jack, that has repented. Amen, and been saved by the grace of God. The will of God is that all men and women be born again of the grace of God, putting their faith and trust in Lord Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection, that and that alone.
Amen.
I'm of that crowd that has done the will of God in salvation.
Amen.
Are you?
Amen.
Do you know you're saved? Is it real to you today? Can you say, beyond a shadow of a doubt when it comes to your eternal soul in the matter of salvation that you have done the will of God. If you bowed your knee in sincerity and in truth and in faith, turning from your sin, turning to God, turning to Christ, and Him alone, have you done that? Have you done the will of God? If you have, you're of that crowd. The Bible said, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The will of God, once you're saved, is a very, very important thing. The things we do after we're saved, it is the desire of God that what we do lasts throughout eternity. I ain't talking about losing your salvation. We don't believe in any of that. If you've been once saved, you are always saved. But don't you kid yourself, there's still a will of God, and it still matters how you live in this world. It's the very, very perfect will of God. And you can get mad, you can pout, pooch your lip once you're saved that you be baptized. That is the will of God. I've preached it for 20 years that I've been a pastor. I will preach it till the day I die. That is the will of God for everyone that calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You try to reject that and say, well, I just don't want to. You are outside of the will of God.
Amen.
And everything you do after a result of that conscious choice of rebellion,
yes.
It will not abide.
Right.
Say what you want. It's the will of God. Everybody get baptized,
yes,
and saved.
Yes, sir.
It's the will of God. Everybody been saved and baptized if they live a holy life.
Amen.
I'm just talking to you. It's the will of God you be sanctified from this world. Amen. It's still the will of God. It's still in the Bible. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. Why is it we have such a problem with that? Amen. We done hit on it. It's your lust.
Amen.
You want to come to church and feel good about being religious while at the same time being so closely related to the world, it don't cost you anything to be a Christian.
That's right.
You be mindful of what the Savior said. If you're ashamed of Him on this earth, He will be ashamed of you in heaven. You deny Him, amen, before men, He will deny you before the Father. Eat up with lust to the point we don't even want the world to know that we're identified with Christ. Christ said, I ain't playing your little lustful game. I'm not playing your little worldly games. I'm not playing your little carnal games. Christ said, you deny me before men, I'll deny you in glory. Amen. Amen. He said at the same time, if you'll confess me and be identified with me and you won't be ashamed of me, He said, I'll be the same way with the Father about you in heaven.
Yes, sir.
It's the will of God we live holy before an ungodly world.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Why is it we don't with to eat up with lust? We don't have no longing for God, longing for His will, longing to be accepted of Him. Won't care more about what they think than what He thinks.
Right. Amen.
Amen. I'm going to tell you, there's no middle ground. There's them or there's Him.
That's right.
Your lust and your desires you have, amen, have everything to do with you being in or out of the will of God.
Yes, sir.
It's the will of God you be sanctified. Like it, lump it, let all these compromisers and recovering people, amen, stand up and try to come up with some other way than all our forefathers. Ain't it amazing? Ain't it amazing? The Word of God and holiness and sanctification and being different than the world has been preached for 2,000 years. All of a sudden, there's this crowd, amen, that's come along now that's found some new way of doing it. You know why? You know why? And they talk about we're just so frustrated. We're so frustrated growing up. Amen. The reason they were frustrated, they had lust they wanted to exercise. Amen. And there was a standard being raised from the Word of God. amen, that was saying, no, this is the right way. And rather than falling in with God and being in love with God and denying their lust, amen, they've had to come up with some other whole new way of religion.
Amen.
That crowd, they're a bunch of liars is what they are.
Amen.
They're a bunch of liars. I wish they'd tell the truth. I've listened about everything they put out. Amen. And what I've come to the conclusion about after all these years of listening to that trash is that they're a bunch of liars.
Hey,
just tell the truth. We're carnal. We got lust and we want to exercise it and still be religious. Yeah, man, I'm a preaching right now. Amen. The lust in the flesh and the lust in the eyes, these are those things that are in the world. Amen. And if you love the world, you're going to have these lusts dominating your life.
Right. Amen.
But it don't abide. Does not last.
Amen.
Amen. Telling you, we got to deal with this in this day. It ain't no wonder. Ain't no wonder. And I ain't trying to guilt you and make you feel bad about nothing. But it ain't no wonder we can't see a mighty move of God. I'm talking about in the good average churches of our day, churches that we just come and we go and we have decent services and good services. Why is it we ain't seen some of them mighty moves of God that have been done in the past? It's because people come in with lust and they leave with lust and they never get on the altar. They never seek after God for victory over the lust of their flesh and the lust of their eyes. We've gotten so satisfied with where we are. Amen. We're fine. We come to church, make us feel good. Even if the preacher busts our hide, we'll take it. We've learned how to take it. We've learned how to take it. We don't even get mad about it anymore, but we have no desire to change whatsoever. Ain't no wonder we can't have revival.
Amen.
Let me make a statement. Brother Sam, if our lust had an odor, if our lust had an odor this morning, if you could smell what God smells,
yes, sir.
We'd be gagging in the floor this morning.
Amen.
Somebody help me. You better understand this. God smells what comes up out of our life.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
If you could smell it this morning, it would repulse you. Why would it take us physically being affected by it for it to move us when the Word of God is so clear of what it's doing in our life?
Amen. Yes,
sir. Ain't no wonder. Ain't no wonder we come in dead, we leave dead, we leave unmoved, we leave without hearing or without responding to the voice of God directly to our life.
Amen.
Amen. Yes. I don't know, this is the weirdest Sunday morning service I've been in a long time. I'm just telling you, amen, if we're going to have a move of God in these days, God bear me witness. I was listening to him this morning. I thought, there ain't no wonder we can't have revival.
Right.
Ain't no wonder folk can come in and just kind of blend in among us and are never affected. We can say what we want, and I'm sure there's some truth to it. We're just living in the last days. People are harder than they've ever been. I understand the truth of that statement, that people are as hard as they have ever been. I ain't convinced that's the only reason. We have young people that frequent this church nearly on a weekly basis, at least a service a week, and can sleep through entire services unmoved. So it's just hard, and maybe they are. Maybe the church ought to start taking an internal look.
Amen.
Saying, is there anything in my life and in my heart, amen, any defeat to lust that I'm experiencing that maybe is minimizing the power of God?
Yes,
better, you better deal with
right.
it. Let me back up. We better deal with it. We better deal with it. I ain't just preaching down to you. This is good for the pastors. It is those that are here this morning. We need a move of God in these last days. Calvary Baptist Tabernacle needs the power of God in greater measure than we know it right now this morning. I would hate to think that I was the reason. I'd hate to know in a service like this morning with this challenge, I would hate to think about me walking out them doors saying, you know what, it's me, it's my life, it doesn't matter, I'm only affecting me, when in reality you are affecting the entire congregation.
Amen.
It's time God's people come clean. It's time God's people understand. God in salvation offered us not only the saving of our soul and the saving of our eternal life. Amen. You're going to be in heaven with the Lord, but He offered you in salvation a victory over these things.
Amen.
You don't have to live in it.
Right. No, sir.
You don't have to live in it. You don't have to live a life void of purpose and void of just, amen, doing the will of God, just kind of getting up every day and winging it. You get up every day with that mentality, I'm just going to wing it. You will not do the will of God. You will give way to every lust and every desire, every temptation this world affords you and offers you. You'll bite on everything. If you do not understand, my purpose as a child of God is to do the will of God. That's the antidote. That's the antidote. Amen. I sat over there this morning, here's a teaching, and given that, and I'm talking about the Word of God was saying, are you getting this? Are you getting this? Are you getting this? Anybody else have that this morning? Amen. Dear God, help us to get it. Dear God, help us to get it. What are we going to do? What are we going to do with these lusts? I have struggled all night last night and all morning with getting direction for what to preach today. I got Mark 6, a doctrine of rest. I got it ready to go. I've had no peace all night or all morning about preaching that. You know what little nudge I did get early this morning? Ecclesiastes chapter number 12. Let me just give that to you. And I feel like we're just going to give invitation. I know it's a weird service. I know choir's supposed to sing and all that, but y'all know me. I'm just about doing the will of God. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. This is the only nudge I could get. It's the only nudge, and it goes with everything I've said. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Fear God. Do you fear Him today? Do you give reverence and place to God in your life? Do you care about what God thinks about you? Have you given that any thought lately? Fear God and keep His commandments. Your relationship of reverencing Him is directly connected to your relationship to His Word. So I don't know what God thinks about me. Pick His Word up and He's told you. He's already told us. And so He said, for this is the whole duty of man. Interesting, the word whole. How many times the word whole is mentioned in the book of Ecclesiastes? He said, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. And sometimes we think about secret things that means you're doing evil. No, Solomon said, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You do understand you can do good in secret. You can do right when nobody's watching. You can do righteous things and perform the will of God when mom and daddy ain't looking over your shoulder. I said, and some of y'all choked on it, but you need to think about it. Said it on last Sunday. Every person in this building has a secret life. Whether it be good or evil is up to you. God knows. So if I had any nudge to preach this morning, I was going to preach this, Jesse, on just that first line. What's the matter with you? Let us hear the whole, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. The book of Ecclesiastes, Brother Daniel, is about Solomon's life. He begins to explain his life as a young man. As a young man, he set his heart to find fulfillment and satisfaction. He began to set sail and make his way through life. And over the course of the first 10 or 11 chapters of the book of Ecclesiastes, especially early on, he talks about all the things he let himself enjoy that he found in this world. Women, wine, wealth, living for money, living for making money so he could have more things. Began to talk about how he'd give himself to all the things that he could find in the world. Here's what he said: every time I experienced a new thing, every time I put my hand on a new experience, he said, it's just vanity. I thought that's what I was looking for, and when I got my hand on it, I found there was just emptiness. Now, over and over and over and over through the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon said, vanity of vanities, all is vanity, vanity of vanities, all is vanities, talking about what he was finding in this world. He'd see something, his flesh would go, I want that, and he would take it. Left him lonely. It left him empty.
Yes, sir.
He had this big matter. Amen. There was something a matter with him, Brother Tim. There's something a matter with him on the inside. Because here's the fact of the matter. When God made man, when God created man, when God gave you life, God did so with his desire and there being something on the inside. Can I put it this way? A connection inside of you that longed to be related to your Creator. You was born with that. Every person was born with that. When you try to take that connector that God put on the inside of us and plug it into the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, pornography and immorality and worldly living and this and that, it don't work. You live your life with something always being a matter with you because you're trying to connect that connector into things that it only works when it gets connected to your Creator.
Amen.
That's why he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. After all these things I've been trying to plug that into, he said, here's what I learned was the matter with me all along. What I tried to find in women and sensuality and in the liquors and the drinks and the offerings of this world, what I tried to find and connect my life to by way of bigger treasuries, he said, what was the matter with me all along was my relationship to God. Ain't we having a time? I heard a news segment this week of young people that they've done surveys and they say they see no meaning to life. Suicide is at an all time high. This COVID, I ain't gonna call it no pandemic. Amen. It's all, you'll never convince me otherwise. We'll get kicked off live stream here in a minute. All that they've done to this generation, shoving them in houses, throwing masks on their face, cutting them off from every real contact, has left them absolutely hopeless. The pandemic in our nation right now is young people taking their own lives. The ones that don't take their own lives are so frustrated. They're either depressed or they're taking it out by means of violence on those that are around them. And all along, and I'm so sick of these stupid politicians. Well, here's what we got to do. We got to have this program and we got to put more money in this. Would to God one of them would stand up and have enough courage, one of the ones who say they're a Christian, and say, you know what our problem is? The whole conclusion, what's the matter with this generation, is they don't fear God. They don't know His commandments because we are keeping them from knowing God and His Word. And that's the reason they're so frustrated. Give them a lifeline where they can plug their God-given connector back into their Creator where they can know what it is to really have fulfillment in life. What's the matter with you today? What's your connector? I hadn't even thought of that. I've just been thinking on this verse. What's your connector plugged into? Where is your desire connected today? It better be in saying, you know what, I reverence God enough to walk with Him and have a relationship with Him. Keep His commandments. Let me say this verse, Solomon said, somebody's got to hear this. Let us hear. I know this is different. I know I ain't screaming. Amen. I ain't screaming. I might scream here in about 2 minutes. Brother Mark, he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. If you're going to get a hold of this, you got to be willing to hear about what it is to really have a relationship with God. Some people can't hear for the loudness of the lust that is on the inside of them. Some people have no desire to even hear it. Amen. And again, in churches like ours, Brother Tim, I'm afraid we've got the place that we'll even let a man tell it to us. But we won't hear that word "hear" right there. You do a word study on it when you get home. It means to hear attentively. Mary, it means to hear with an intent that you're going to obey. When's the last time the preacher said, open your Bible, and you opened your Bible, and before he ever read his text and announced what he was going to preach on, you said, I need this, I'm going to hear this, and whatever God speaks to my heart about, I'm going to obey. You know what that's evidence of? Fearing God.
Amen.
What's the matter with you today? Amen. You have lust for the things that are in the world, or do you have love for the Father? So, preacher, it don't matter. Matters greatly because Solomon said, here is what finally dawned on him. And it took him a long time. It took him a mighty long time. He wasted the days of his youth away. It took him a long time to get it. Solomon said, I know the conclusion of the whole matter is I've got to stand before God one day. Can I remind you today, you're going to stand before God. Every person has to stand before God. There's not a person here today that gets to get out of that appointment. So, preacher, I don't believe it. I don't believe in all that. Whether you believe it or not doesn't change the fact. You're going to stand before God one day, and every Every work you have done, Solomon said, is going to be brought not into your judgment, not into the judgment of what is culturally relevant and acceptable in our day. It's going to be brought in the judgment of Almighty God. You'll bow your knee to His verdict. You'll confess to His judgment, God, You're right and I'm wrong. Now you say, preacher, how do I go to that day? You go to that day letting Him give a judgment about your life now. If we would judge ourselves in light of the Word of God, now if we would judge ourselves in light of the Word of God, we'll not be judged. That is, today I say, God, what do You think about me? Lord, give a judgment about my life. Lord, I care about what You think. And when God gives it, you say, yes, sir, Lord. And you make the adjustments you need to make so that you can go to the day of judgment before Him and say, I've already given the judgment. You've already made the correction. Solomon said, not only your works, that's your public life. He said, and those secret things. Those secret things. You see, you can clear your internet search histories. They got programs now. You can incognito or whatever they call it, and it don't leave no crumbs behind about where you've been. Amen. You can sit down in the day and clear your phone and every conversation you had so your parents and your spouse or your children don't run across the activities you've been doing in secret. God saw it all already. The day's coming you're going to answer for every secret thing. Probably the worst kind of lust a person can, quote, enjoy, give himself to, secret lust. Well, there's something about secret lust, you feel like you got away with it. I don't know why we're here this morning. I'm feeling the Lord more and more, but Charlie, on this. Secret lust, you kind of feel like I have succeeded and I've gotten by. Can I tell you something this morning? It may stay a secret till the day you draw your last breath. But on the day of judgment, it's all getting uncovered.
Amen. Amen.
It's all getting uncovered on the day of judgment.
Yes.
So you better enjoy it all you can. If you ain't going to get it right, if you're not interested in knowing God in realness and in fulfillment and in a satisfied spiritual life, you better squeeze it for all you got, because the day's coming, you're going to answer for the secret things.
Amen.
Good or bad, it's all coming out.
Yes, sir.
Are we interested in revival? Sinner friend, are you interested in salvation?
Amen. Amen.
We ended the Sunday school hour this morning, and Brother Mike was giving exhortation about the matters of immorality and perversions and pornography, and following up Brother Tim's lesson. And Brother Tim said some people just may need to get born again. It is possible to be saved and still deal with lust. In fact, you very much will. To the saved man, Paul wrote, the flesh lusteth against the spirit. Now when you is lost, the flesh lusted against the spirit. It lusted against the Word of God, the things of God. But when you got saved, something brand new started to happen.
Yes, sir.
The flesh lusteth against the spirit, for the child of God, Paul said, and the spirit lusteth against the flesh. Flesh is trying to get its way in your life, but the spirit now is working. And that wasn't there before, and now the spirit is trying to get your passions toward the things of God. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You want to be miserable? Be saved and let the spirit try to push the spirit down, his work in your life. Try to push him down from lusting against the flesh. You'll be an absolute wretched mess. Say, so how do you know? Because I've done it. I've done it, and it brings a greater spiritual frustration than I can even explain today. We're going to have to deal with it. We're going to have to deal with it. What's the matter with this generation? Could it be? We got the same Herodian problem. We have given ourselves to things it did not satisfy, and we want more, and we want more, and we're willing to give away even the half of our kingdom to satisfy our lustful desire. God help us. God help us. You got a verse, Brother Larry? Yes. That's right. That's right. Amen. It's good, Larry. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's do invitation. I know this is odd and strange, but that's okay. We're odd and strange. So we're asking the question, what's the matter with this generation? Let's make it more personal. What's the matter with me? What's the matter with you? What's the matter with your family? What's the matter with our church? Surely today nobody would say, you know what? I got her all nailed down. If you do, then please pray for the rest of us. I mean sincerely pray for the rest of us. I dare say if we'd be perceptive of the voice of the Spirit of God, could all say, you know what, I got a little something I could check up on, deal with. Folk are on the altar all over this morning, families praying together, young folk praying. Please mind the Lord today.